Father of grace and mercy, attend your word today. Send your Spirit and let your Spirit guide us into your truth and to reassure us of the completed work of Jesus Christ through his birth, perfect life, death, and resurrection, and his ascension to heaven where he now pleads our case. In his name, amen. Have you all been seeing what's been going on in the movie theaters? I think for the last 10 years or so, we've seen movie after movie that are either Marvel Comics or DC Comics movies. Superman, Captain America, all these superhero type of guys. I want to tell you that I think all of us, maybe deep inside, you know, kind of long for that notion of a superhero, somebody that can make things right for us. When I was a little boy, of course, my superhero was, can you guess? My dad. I always felt safe when I was with my dad. Always. Whether I was out doing stuff that I shouldn't or whatever. Even the story that I told the kids a few weeks ago about me driving the truck, my dad was there when I saw the sirens. Even though I was scared because I knew my dad was there, I knew that things were going to be okay. My dad was my hero. He always seemed to make things right for me. And believe me, our need for a superhero is really, really great. If Moses, who is God's spokesman to the Hebrews, who walked in the presence of God, could not enter the promised land because he offended God in one little point, the one thing that God pointed out to him, wow, what about me? What about you? Have you crossed the line ever? Maybe a little bit? Maybe a lot? Maybe once like Moses? Maybe trampled it? See, our transfiguration text for today confirms Jesus' identity as the one who can make things right for each and every single one of us. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and takes them up into the mountain to pray. I'm sure they were not expecting to see what they saw. But after just a little bit, the text from the gospel tells us today that Jesus changed before them. Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. Mark, in another gospel, says they became so bright, so white, whiter than anybody on earth could wash them or bleach them. What had been masked in human form gave way to the reality of what was enfolded in that flesh, and that is divinity, God incarnate. The divinity of Jesus just peeked through and allowed people to get a glimpse of his Shekinah, that aura that surrounds God. Here we see Jesus' identity made perfectly clear for everyone to see. Like we confess today in the Nicene Creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, here on the Mount of Transfiguration, no way that we can get around that reality, that fact that Jesus is the one. One of the questions that has always puzzled me about superheroes is that so many of them seem to have this sort of alter ego. And I think, why all the drama? Goodness gracious, why does Clark Kent not just say, hey, I'm Superman? Why doesn't he just tell folks that? Why hide out as Peter Parker when you're Spider-Man or Bruce Wayne when you're Batman, huh? I suppose that same question could be asked of Jesus. Why mask your identity in the form of a human being? Why as a man? And there are important theological reasons for it, and if you have studied your catechism, you know what they are, right? He had to be true man to be our substitute, to pay for our sins. But there's another big reason that we see clearly in the text that doesn't come out maybe as we look at it, but the reality is that if we see God's Shekinah, we get scared. In fact, it's deadly. When Moses asked God, "Can I see you face to face?" God said, "Moses, if I let you see me face to face, you're going to die. You're going to die." And so for God to allow Moses to see him, he said, "Hide yourself in the cleft of the rock, and I will pass by. And when I get by you, you can take a peek at me walking away from you." And when he did, Moses literally glowed, like I said in the children's sermon. He had to wear a veil to cover the Shekinah of God that attached to himself. And when people saw that Shekinah, they were scared. And so Jesus veiled himself so that he could present himself to us. And one of the things that we see in our text today is when God reveals himself, people get scared. Folks get scared. And the reason for that is because we've crossed the line. We know we can't stand in the presence of a holy God. And so Jesus veiled himself to be able to be with people. It was important for what happened on the mountaintop to have witnesses as well. And we have Peter, James, and John, who were three of the preeminent apostles with Jesus, seeing what happened and whose testimony later on would become critical. But we also have Moses and Elijah, a prophet of the law and a prophet of prophets. Elijah's kind of interesting because Elijah had one fairly small piece of scripture that was dedicated to him, and there are no names that say the book of Elijah, but yet he was representative there because he was one of a couple of folks that was taken up without dying to be with God. And so he came back to present himself there. Jesus brought him back to be present there as a witness. And it was pretty cool for Peter, James, and John too. So cool that they wanted to stay there on the mountaintop. Peter, and the text tells us, was kind of out of his mind, didn't know what he was saying, said, "Jesus, can I build a tent for Moses, for Elijah, and one for yourself so that we can remain here? Because it seems to be a really good time up here." And isn't it always a good time when stuff is going beautifully and well, when we can feel the presence of God in our lives? But what about the times when we can't? What about the times when it's dark? What about the times when it's hard to smile? A personal revelation here. I've been going through a challenge the last several weeks. Bob has helped me out a little bit with that. Jerry has helped me out a little bit with that. The challenge is that in my family, my eldest son and his wife have separated, and they may end up being divorced, and it has just broken my heart. It's just literally shattered me, and I have been living a nightmare, really, honestly, for the last several days. And a lot of that is for my grandkids. Wow. To have children live through that is a challenge and a half. And the reason I can tell you that is because my parents were divorced, and I know the impact that had on me as a 12-year-old. And I hate the thought of my grandkids going through that. I absolutely hate that thought. And I'm tempted to think, God, where are you when it's hard to smile? Where are you when it's difficult to see you, when the life becomes hard to carry on? Where are you, Lord? Where are you? And I ask and I ask, and I say, Lord, help them come back together, and it doesn't seem to be doing anything. And where is God then, right? Mountaintops are good. Valleys are hard. Valleys are hard, and yet here in the transfiguration of Jesus as the one we're assured, we're guaranteed that even in the valleys, God is with us. In fact, the beloved Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," finish it for me. "Because you are with me." You are with me. The Lord is with us in good times and in bad times. And I know there are folks in this congregation that are living through hard times. I know that. I know that. I know how hard the Landry household is right now. I know how difficult Philip is living through right now because of Harold. I know how the Harwell household is feeling right now. It's a hard time to really think about the mountaintop. Yeah. So Peter wanted to stay there, and you can understand why when you're going through the valley, can't you? You can really understand why he wanted to stay there. But then the cloud overshadows them. The cloud overshadows them, and the Father speaks and says, you know, this Jesus, he's my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him. This is the second time that God the Father makes that testimony evident and clear that Jesus is the one. The other time was at his baptism. He was baptized, and the Father confessed before all who were there, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And so Jesus is the one that we are to hear when we're going through the valleys. The shock factor that was provided by the presence of God when the cloud enveloped them was huge. Because we need to be sure that Jesus is the one that can lead us into the promised land. And Jesus descended the mountaintop. He went into his own valley for our sake. They were going back to Jerusalem, where Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed, where Jesus knew he was going to be beaten, where Jesus knew that he would be crowned with thorns, where Jesus knew that he would be crucified, pierced with a spear, nailed to a cross. But that's our ticket. Don't you know? That's our ticket. And the transfiguration is actually a prefiguring of what will happen to us. Hear what St. Paul writes to the Corinthian believers. I'll tell you which is the verse that I want you to reflect on as we complete here. I'm going to read a few of these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, Jesus, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord of glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we are being transformed into that which Jesus showed on the Mount of Transfiguration. As we move from this life onward, and the Spirit of God works in us, perfecting us, we will finally be able to have that glory that Jesus showed on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's yours by faith, not because of us, but because of the one, Jesus. In his name, amen. We pray. Father of grace and Father of mercy, we thank you for your love for us. The Mount of Transfiguration isn't about a glow-in-the-dark Jesus that we are to just be awed by, but rather, Lord, it is testimony of who Jesus is and the power that he has to be our hero, to rescue us from those difficult times when we are going through the valley, or when we recognize that we've crossed the line. So bless us with the kind of faith that clings to Jesus and never doubts what he accomplished for us through his life, through his cross, through his death, and through his resurrection. For we ask this in his name. Amen.